The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, you are, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not a no, at Degenerates 975. Can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first hour, a lot of good stuff. Sorry you missed it.
Okay, I've heard a few people ask about this, and I want to get your opinion on it. I've heard it in regards to Tony Romo. I've heard it in regards to Philip Rivers. What's the feasibility of J.J. Watt for said quarterback in a trade? How possible is that? From a financial standpoint, and secondly, from a would the Texans even imagine doing it standpoint?
A, from a financial standpoint, it's all but impossible.
Okay.
Two,
that's what I've been saying.
There's no way they would do it. And three, I don't know if a team's going to take on a guy coming off of back surgery that's they've got $20 million committed to next year. And if you take him off the roster via trade, you've got $20 million in dead cap money and you're upside down $6 million on him. You don't even save any money. So you're basically just throwing $26 million of your cap away, yeah, is what it amounts to. So that's why it's not feasible. And I know
the NFL really does need to fix the way they work trades with as far as salary cap. I don't like that. I don't like that when you trade a guy, you're still responsible for his cap number.
Yeah,
it should be like
because
the
of the signing bonus, though, because they spread out those bonuses,
yes,
to try to make it work. The first year you could conceivably look at doing it is probably 2019. Then you would have
but by then you like to think that you'll have figured something else out.
Yeah, by then you hope you have a quarterback, right? But, and I know people look at how well the defense played and think, oh, well, without what, you could do this. But realistically, it's just not how the salary cap works. It's not viable. And plus I just don't see any way they would do it for any reason. Because, and then now if you're the other team, you're taking on an awful big contract for a guy coming off surgery, which you had mentioned earlier. All right, let's get to some of the other games.
I mean, it'd be lovely. I honestly, if you ask me, who would you rather have for the next 3 years, Philip Rivers or J.J. Watt? I think right now I would rather have Philip Rivers. I don't know if I'd say the same thing about Tony Romo, because I think he's just as likely to break as
yeah,
J.J. Watt over the yeah, next 3 years. But if you're going to give up something like that, you're going to give up a guy like J.J. Watt. I want to feel like I'm getting my money's worth.
I'm not even sure Rivers is enough for me at his age.
But Philip Rivers, given the roster that you have now, Philip Rivers makes you a Super Bowl contender.
Maybe.
If you put Philip Rivers on this team, it's probably the best team Philip Rivers has ever played on.
No, I wouldn't say that, man. He had some of those Marty Schottenheimer Chargers teams were really good. When he had LaDainian
Tomlinson era,
he had
yeah,
Tomlinson to hand the ball off to.
They never had a defense like this, though.
No, but...
And we've seen now that this defense can be great without J.J. Watt, because they were without him this year. They don't need him to be a great defense.
No, but I'd still like to have him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, you'd like to.
But... Because I think that just makes you that much better on defense. And like the guy was trying to say earlier, make a strength stronger. You're already doing that. And I think there are some – you can expect some internal improvement in some areas. Like, I assume – well, maybe you have Derek Newton back. I don't know how bad that injury was. He may or may not be back. But I assume you have him back and Nick Martin, which gives you two more options for that offensive line. You still need to go get another guy or two there. I'd like to see them get the left tackle of the future.
Someone asked about Suofilo, what we think of him, if looks like he's a player.
He's I don't think he's ever going to be an all Pro Bowl type guard, but he did show improvement throughout the course of the season. He's at least functional. He's not good. He's not really awful anymore, and I think he can get to the part where he's above average. But he's not there yet, but I think he can get there.
On a good offensive line, he's like a your swing interior guy. On this offensive line, he's a serviceable starter.
It's kind of what they were doing. They were swinging him, though, quite a bit. And to be fair, they had – and I don't know if Nick Martin can play. He hasn't played a down yet in the NFL.
Right. But you're,
I think he can. But I also thought Suofilo could play coming in, too. And I'm worried about I think it's a position that will be better next year regardless, but I'd like to see him get some more depth. I think that's something else they have to address. If they go in and lose some of these guys on defense like Vince Wilfork, if they go ahead and cut Jonathan Joseph.
They lose Bouye.
I would say they probably don't cut Joseph if they don't keep Bouye.
Bouye is going to get paid. I don't know if they can even make that work.
Well, I think they can, but I don't know that I want to for what he's going to get paid. I think he's a good player, but, man, essentially 1 year, and you're going to pay this guy $10 million a year.
Like Josh Norman.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I don't think he did as well as Josh Norman did in Carolina. So I think he's going to get way more money than I'd be willing to pay. I think A.J. Bouye is good. I don't think A.J. Bouye is some kind of lockdown cornerback either.
Yeah, and I think with the guys you have there, you can redo J.J.'s deal, Joseph's deal, and then Johnson will be back, so you should be okay there. Jackson will be back. I'd like to see him bring Quentin back just because I think he's done. They missed him.
Yeah, they needed him badly. They on a couple plays would have been really nice to have him.
But as of now, with those guys available, they've got about $25 million in cap space. And the cap's probably going to go up. Yeah, I'm guessing Will Fork's not back, but I'm okay with DJ Reader sliding into that role in the future. That would be a pretty good chunk if you wound up bringing him back. And you've got some guys you're going to have to extend. You're going to have to figure out what to do with Hopkins. At some point, you're going to have to extend Clowney. Those are deals that'll all happen here in the next couple of years. And
the one thing I'll say in regards to A.J. Bouye is this is a year where – we were talking about how quarterback, there's no good quarterbacks available. There's quite a few solid cornerbacks available on the market. And you can probably, that may help keep the cost down. Because, A.J. Bouye is a free agent. Stephon Gilmore from Buffalo is a free agent. I don't think he's going to be back. Tremaine Johnson's a free agent. Morris Claiborne, who finally decided that he knows how to play football, is a free agent. Good timing. Dre Kirkpatrick, Darius Butler, Prince Amukamara, like a lot of Captain Munnerlin, a lot of guys who are solid players starting, NFL cornerbacks are free agents this year. Maybe that keeps Bouye's number from getting out of control, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't know if they're going to be willing to.
And he's younger than a lot of those guys. So
yeah.
We'll see, but I'd like to see him bring him back, but I don't want to see them overpay for the guy.
I'm going to give you guys a couple names. Do you think, and just tell me if you think they're going to be still either reworked contract or gone. Jonathan Joseph has a $7 million cap hit, no dead money.
I think he gets his reworked. But I think a lot depends on if they think they can sign Bouye. If they can, you might just cut him outright.
I honestly think whether Bouye is here or not, I don't think Jonathan Joseph's on this team next year.
This might sound crazy, but Dwayne Brown has a 9.65.
You can't cut him.
No.
You cannot. He's the only really solid piece, and granted, he's declining. He's never going to be the all pro that
he was. Still pretty good this year.
He's still way better than anything they have, and the clear veteran leader on that line. They have to have him.
And Brian Cushing, a $9.5 million cap hit with a 4.2 dead money.
God, there's going to be a legitimate discussion to be had about him. I lean towards that they're going to keep him. But I wouldn't blame them one bit if they moved on.
Actually, it would be 3.9975 would be your dead money. You'd save $5.5 million on Brian Cushing.
So you think he goes
before June? Before June 1st? I don't know. I think obviously McKinney's become the interior linebacker they use more.
Yeah,
and I think he's the better player. But I think you could handle that for another year. They're going to be an okay they're an okay cap position right now, even with that Osweiler albatross. But yeah, you know, it's just
but you've not, got some guys that you're gonna have to
yeah, you got replace. Some guys you're gonna have to take care of. So
replace or take care
but of. But I think Joseph is probably the easiest one.
I think he's the most likely of those guys to be gone. Dwayne Brown the least likely. I think if they cut Dwayne Brown, I don't know what the hell they're thinking.
No, I can't see that happening. 713-780-ESPN. Yeah.
We suck on the offensive line. I think we should probably cut our best offensive line.
Yeah. No, they need to be adding more pieces there.
Yeah. And now I don't mind the idea of drafting a long-term replacement for him and playing him at right tackle
until
Dwayne is ready to go.
Totally down with that.
But Dwayne's not ready to go yet. They need him for 2017.
And Nick says there's some corners on that list he'd want over Boyer. I agree.
Me too. Yeah, that's why I gave you that list.
I could get pretty far down that list.
What's funny is I really think Boyer may get more money than all those guys. And if you ask me, and I don't know that I like him better than there might be five or six guys on that list I like better than him. Kayvon Webster is going to be a free agent. I might like him better.
Captain Munnerlin.
Yeah.
There's a guy that I wouldn't mind having on my roster.
And I'll give you another name who's a free agent, and I don't know if he's going to keep playing, but if he does, he could come in and it almost sort of be like Danielle Manning was. It'd be a short-term replacement. But Terrence Newman's a free agent at 38 years old. If he can come in and give you a year, 2 years, he's not going to be a huge, you know, contract, but he's a serviceable guy to have out there. You know, especially as insurance if Kevin Johnson is hurt again or Kareem Jackson starts to melt down. But, the amount of money you'd have to give him versus the amount it would take to keep A.J. Bouye and Jonathan Joseph, it's minuscule.
Yeah, I could see that. All right. I promise we'll get to the other games next. It's kind of tough because there were some really good games, but there's also a lot of Texans obit stuff to do.
Yeah,
especially with them whacking the offensive coordinator today. If you missed it, George Gotze is no longer employed.
So. I can't believe it. I thought for sure he was going to no.
There was no way that they could go into this offseason with that guy. There's just no way. So the big question is, what do they do next? And I hope they go out and get somebody that will actually improve this offense, because I think that's one big step that can be made going into next year to improve internally is just get better play calling and start with that.
Don't you think Larry Izzo should be gone too?
I'm starting to think the Texans special teams is just never going to happen because he's the third guy now in 4 years and they always suck. But yeah, I'm surprised he didn't get whacked also, and maybe he might yet. But that's, you know, I don't know how you can allow freaking kickoff returns in playoff games. Just kick the ball in the damn end zone every time. Your kicker should be able to do that.
I guess that kind of shows you the lack of depth on this team. Because those players that you draft in the second, third, fourth round, those are your special team players a lot of the times.
Well, they've got guys who are pretty good special teams players. That's all they do. Well, something's amiss there. All right. I'll tell you what's not amiss. That's donating your vehicle to my friends at Houston Can Academies. Houston Can Academies is a terrific place where they take in kids who dropped out of other schools for a variety of reasons. Good kids, just in bad situations. And they work with these kids, whatever it was, whatever reason they had to drop out. Well, Texas, what they do is Houston Can Academies will take those kids and work around that problem and help them with that problem. And so many of them graduate and do great, great things. And all you have to do to help is donate a vehicle you're not using anymore. And the Blitzers have been doing a lot of this, and they all say the same thing. It's fast. It's easy. And they'll take cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, RVs, doesn't matter if they're running or not, four-wheelers. And if you got something sitting out there and you were going to do something with it and you never got around to it, if you can hear my voice on the radio, they'll come and tow it no matter where you are. And it's going to be free of charge. They'll take care of all the paperwork, and you get a big tax deduction for your donation. Give them a call, 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Make sure you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. Right off the car, not the kid.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. And, we'll get to all these games, man. Don't worry about it. I promise you we will. Just very quickly, because Chris was asking on Twitter, we talked about Sam Houston Race Park, the days you'll be on air out there. We will be out there Friday for the opening day. I went through, got the past performances, and I'll do a little thing for the website that'll be more in-depth than the free tip sheets I give you at the track for Friday night. So all good. And then I'll be out there Saturday as well for an appearance. So gonna be fun. Glad to have the ponies back. And we were talking off air beforehand, and you had a really good football betting weekend. I only played the one game. I played the over on the Falcons pretty heavy. That was my one play. But I just mauled Santa Anita Saturday afternoon.
Nice.
So I'm back on my horse game in a big way.
Yeah, this was a good football weekend for me. I'm so glad that because I wanted to take the Chiefs so badly. And I was like, I just can't. I can't do it.
Yeah,
especially giving points. I think if it would have been a pick'em, I would have taken the Chiefs, and obviously I would have been wrong. But I wanted to take them, and I was like, you know what? I've had a great weekend. I had Falcons minus the points. I had Falcons over. I had a parlay of those two. I had Packers plus the points. I had Packers money line, not nearly for enough as I'd like to have. And I had the Packers and Patriots teased and hit every one of those. And especially when you're running hot, you're like, I'll throw something down on the Chiefs. I was disciplined enough to not throw something down on the Chiefs, and I was rewarded for it. But
I had looked at that over in that game, and I just decided, I'm not interested in it.
Yeah, that game. I guess we're going to talk about the game, so let's get into that, and then we'll get to that game when we do.
All right. Well, let's talk first about without a doubt, the best game of the weekend, and one of the better ones we've seen in a while, the Packers beating the Cowboys. So much in that game that the Aaron Rodgers throw to set up the winning field goal, about as good as you're going to see. The catch was about as good as you're going to see. I think Dak Prescott and the Cowboys showed me a lot, because you get down two touchdowns to the Packers, and I'm figuring you're dead. But they fought back, they tied it, and looked great doing it. In the end, it just came down to the fact that Aaron Rodgers made a sick play. And got to give Mason Crosby a little credit. The dude had to kick 250-plus-yard field goals, wound up being three with the timeout, all right there at the end of the game, all in incredible playoff pressure for them to win that football game. Just a hell of a good game to watch.
Yeah, it worked out perfectly. That game, I've been saying, and I've been kind of complaining up until that point, that the NFL playoffs have provided zero drama.
Yeah,
and it's been disappointing a little bit. I mean, the favorites have won every game, and there hasn't been a moment of, like, you know, that catch is going to be shown on highlights years from now. That Rodgers to Cook catch. I mean, that's an all time great playoff moment, and the NFL hadn't, or the playoffs hadn't had one yet, and that play did it. The Cowboys coming back the way they did, it looked like the Cowboys were dead in the water. And kudos to them, because I said all along, if the Cowboys got down big, they were in deep trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then they have to go away from being a ball control offense, and Dak Prescott actually has to go out and win them the game. And I'll be damned if I was wrong, because Dak Prescott did exactly that. He balled out. And granted, it's against a decimated Packers secondary, but I don't care. He did what he had to do and gave them a chance to win. And at the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers was just too much. But that was such a great game. I mean, emotional swings back and forth. And as you know, I could care less about the Packers or the Cowboys, but I'm on the edge of my seat. That lets you know you had a good playoff game.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of either team particularly, But I just enjoyed that from start to finish.
I did have financial interest in the Packers, but I mean, it was, I told you before, my money line bet on them was so, you know, insignificant compared to my actual bets on like
right.
the line and then the tees. So I didn't really care who won or lost as long as it was by less than 5.5 points. But at the end of that game, he kicks that field goal, it looked like it was going to sail left,
yeah.
And it came back. I mean, it was just such a good moment. The NFL really needed that, and the next game actually provided it as well. It had some drama at the end of it.
Yeah, it did, and I know. Travis Kelce was upset over the holding call, but
yeah.
It sure looked like a hold to me, and I thought it was fairly obvious. And it's easy to say, well, he wouldn't have gotten to Alex Smith, but I don't know if he hadn't held him. Then I think it did impact the play enough where you hate to see a play decided there, but you also can't blatantly hold a guy in that situation either. And then, you know, I think it sucks if you're a Chiefs fan. But
I will say this. I feel like if that were Ben Roethlisberger going for two at the end of the game, the flag probably stays in the pocket.
I don't think so, because that was one where he had his arm around the guy's neck in front of the ref.
Yeah.
There's no way you couldn't throw the flag there. And I'd like to think that. Of course, I don't know.
You like to think NFL officiating's good?
Let me rephrase that. I have no clue what they would. Never mind
on
yeah,
that.
The as usual, the officiating.
Yeah, we could have a whole argument or a whole discussion about the NFL officiating this week, which was horrible at times in literally every single game.
Yeah, it was. And finally, the early game from Saturday, the Falcons looked just fantastic. And Yeah, I was skeptical because I thought playoff Matt Ryan might show up, and they just looked like a machine on offense. They looked fantastic. They looked like the Patriots usually look in these games. And, you know, Seattle, yeah, I know Seattle's not as good, but that's an impressive win. I really feel like the Falcons, if they can play like that again next week, they're going to the Super Bowl.
Well, Seattle missed Earl Thomas so much.
Yeah.
And we talked about this on Friday. I said, I think there's going to be big yards to be had across the middle of the field, and the Falcons did it all day. I mean, everything was slants, and everything was for big yardage, and that's what I based on the health of the Packers secondary, I don't see much changing, and the Packers don't have Richard Sherman to cover some of that up. It's going. I think it could get – first of all, I think it's going to be a lot of points scored in that game.
Did you see what the total was?
No.
60.
Oh, yeah. I'll still take
it
the over.
It went up to 60.5, I think, is where
I'd still
now.
Take the over. But I Aaron Rodgers is going to get his, but Matt Ryan is going to have a day, I believe.
Yeah, but great. We got great matchups. That's all you could ask for.
Oh, man.
Now, I think from a pure who'd you like to see come to Houston thing for TV and everything else, Packers and either one of those guys you would prefer
obviously,
over the Falcons.
Yeah.
Falcons are not a great
television
market.
Television hopes it's the Packers.
Yeah.
But I think from a you want a good
entertainment
game,
standpoint,
the Falcons are as good as anybody.
I think Falcons Patriots would be interesting.
I think the Falcons and the Patriots are the two best teams. Will they end up there? I don't know. I it's hard to say.
Yeah, because the thing is,
because the Steelers and Packers aren't a walkthrough.
No, they're not, either. And they're both teams that I could see if they play their best. And yeah, those are teams that have been there before. They know how to win these games. So I could see those teams winning. I still think. Yeah, I think we saw the best team. Well, the best teams, the Patriots and the Falcons. I think. All right, there we go. We talked enough about the Texans and how that game went. So,
initial thoughts on those lines: Falcons -4.5, Patriots -5.5.
I think the seem about right to me. I'd be more interested in betting. So I don't know, man. I don't know if I can bet against the Falcons after what they did. So that number, I'd like to see it a point higher. But even then, I don't think the Packers are getting blown out either. They can score with them.
I took the Pats -5, and I wanted to take the Falcons, but by the time I even got to the Falcons number, it had gone up to -6, and I didn't want that. I wanted it to get back to 4. Was my hope. And that's still my hope because it's 4.5 now. But I'm locked in on Patriots -5. I'm hoping the Atlanta number hits 4. But even I'll probably at the end of the day play it anywhere under 7.
Yeah.
But I like that it's already settled back down to 4.5. I think, obviously, the Packers being the more public team, I think it could end up pushing down to 4. That's my hope.
Yeah, I just, as of now, I'm not really interested in, I think the lines are where they're supposed to be, and I just kind of be betting and sort of guessing, and I'm not really a fan of that, but I'm sure I'll have an opinion by the end of the week. I always do. All right, very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to The Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on The Blitz. And as he does every Monday, joining us now, former NFL cornerback Stanford Rout. What's up, Stanford? You're in a good mood today.
Hey, man, it is a great day.
What's so great about it, Stanford?
Because there's no possibility that those Cowboy fans are going to be invading the city of Houston for the Super Bowl.
Are you, you're an anti-Cowboy guy, huh?
Dude, growing up in my family, being a Cowboy hater is like that's just the way it is. That's just like a rite of passage. Now, I'm not immune or naive to the fact that they're a pretty good team.
Right.
I'm not immune to the fact that they were the best team in the 90s because I grew up a 49ers fan. So it's hard for me to say that. So I'm not too blind to say that. But, oh, man.
It felt good.
AR-12. That's all I can say.
He's very good at sport.
Yes. Your biggest weakness will always come back to bite you in those big moments. And that's the one thing that I haven't been a believer in all year of the Cowboys secondary and their defense. And sure enough, the Cowboys, they got that field goal. Left, 35 seconds on the clock? And you would think that a defense should be able to hold up in that amount of time. But the Cowboys, very seldom do they ever.
But let's be fair. That was about as perfect a throw Rodgers made to set up that field goal.
One of the best throws ever like,
and catch.
In history. Yeah.
And you can't defend that. There's no way to defend that throw.
No, you can't defend that throw. But what I'm saying is, The Cowboys don't have a good defense or a good secondary. That play right there, how was Cook even that open?
35. He wasn't that open. That's the thing. That's what made it such a great play.
What I'm saying, did you see, was anybody within 5 yards of him? In front of him or behind him? You saw Byron Jones. He was going toward that.
Now,
toward that area.
When a play lasts that long, somebody's getting open because defenders can't, and especially a linebacker or whoever's covering a tight end, isn't going to stay with someone for that. And that guy, as far as athleticism, is a special tight end. He's got receiver speed running around there at tight end. So he's a handful to cover for that long. But once Rodgers got out and extended that play the way he did, I knew someone was going to come open. But it did take a perfect throw and a perfect catch to make it work.
Yes, it definitely took a perfect throw and a perfect catch. What I'm saying is from the snap of the ball, you didn't see anybody get hands on Cook. You didn't see anybody even running with him on the deep over route. He was running that entire pass route wide open. Now, I get it. Dallas was in zone coverage. That's what they run a lot of. But that play right there, on that play, a defense coordinator, the next day, obviously, you know, the game's over, so the season's now over for the Cowboys. But there was a blown assignment on that play. And I'm not talking about just the great throw, great catch. Aaron Rodgers extended the play, so obviously somebody uncovered themselves. That was a blown coverage from the start.
Stanford Rout, our guest. What'd you think of the other games?
Man, Atlanta's looking real good right now. Seattle does not look like – they have not looked the same since they lost the Super Bowl to the Patriots, in my opinion. Atlanta, I got to go Matt Ryan. He's probably going to win the MVP. Probably will be in the Super Bowl. Is he going to win it? That remains to be seen. The Texans and Patriots, that right there was a very interesting game. I'll just go ahead and say it like that. But the Green Bay-Dallas game, and then last night Kansas City and Pittsburgh, those were the two gems of the weekend, which I probably thought they would be. The weekend pretty much went the way I thought it would.
What about that Texans game? Give us your thoughts on that.
Man, that was just an interesting game because you can take a lot of things away from that game. The Texans defense played pretty good for the most part in certain spurts of the game. But you also could say that New England won the game, what was it, 34-16. You could also make an argument to say that New England really probably could have beat them by 30 if New England hadn't been stubbing their toe early on in the game, because I can't think of one score that the Texans had where it wasn't gift wrapped.
Wasn't set up by a turnover or something, yeah.
Or a stupid penalty by what was his name? Rowe, the DB that got the penalty for pulling off one of the players during one of the scuffles. So yeah, so I mean, you could go and say obviously the Texans they showed up. Jadeveon Clowney played pretty good. Boye got an interception. They rattled Tom Brady. They sacked him. Tom Brady, I believe, was under 50%. What was that, like the first time?
Just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
He turned the ball over twice.
Yeah, exactly.
He got sacked. I mean, everything. The Texans played very well defensively.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, the offense, which is what we said all along, no matter how great you are defensively, if you're that poor on one side of the ball, on the offensive side, you just don't have much of a chance to win.
Yeah, so.
I wanted to ask you, because we've had this debate today, if the opportunity presented itself, and obviously the financial implications,
I think I know where you're going with this too,
are pretty out there.
Uh-huh.
But we saw what the Texans defense was this year without J.J. Watt.
Yes.
If I told you that you could make it work where you send J.J. Watt to, I guess, L.A. now, to the Chargers, and you get back Phillip Rivers, would you do it?
Okay, the first part I was that's an unequivocal no, but now that you're now
you can get a franchise quarterback on this team, are you not a Super Bowl contender? Does Phillip Rivers was on this team, are the Texans not a Super Bowl contender? Because the defense was great without J.J. Watt.
Yes,
they don't need J.J. Watt to be a great defense. They proved it this year. If Phillip Rivers was here, I argue that they could have easily won that game on Saturday.
I don't know if I'd go that far, simply because the Patriots, the Patriot way, Tom Brady, obviously Tom didn't play nowhere near his best game.
No.
But
I think a lot of that's attributed to the Texans defense.
Yes, absolutely. But here's the thing that what I noticed is what's now happening in this league, just like Alabama, you don't necessarily need phenomenal athletically gifted players to be a great defense. You really don't. As long as you don't bite yourself, as long as you don't shoot yourself in the foot, as long as you don't do anything that's going to beat you, allowing the other team to beat you, penalties, blown assignments, missed tackles, things like that. As long as you do those simple things, just off of that alone, you're going to be a good defense. Now, you go ahead, you sprinkle in some really good players, you'll be a great defense. Denver Broncos. But what I'm basically saying, in all actuality, Phillip Rivers, I'm not so sure, because we don't even know how many more years Phillip Rivers has. He has more years left.
Let's say he has 3 years left.
You know,
big is the Texans' window
that's
anyway?
That's compelling. I'm not going to lie to you. That's compelling what you just asked me. I would seriously ponder about that if I was presented with that right there on the table. That's something I would think strongly about. But I say this once again, Jadeveon Clowney, great year. Great year, man. I'm so happy that he's now turned the corner. Everybody was counting him out. Now he's being counted on. But we don't necessarily know if he's going to continue this.
Counterpoint?
J.J. Watt, we don't know what we're getting with him.
You don't know what you're getting with him, because he's coming off two major back surgeries. You don't know if he'll ever be the same player. And if you could unload him, because right now I think there's risk involved with J.J. Watt going forward. If you unload him and he ends up being 75% of the player he was, and you get a franchise quarterback for it, awesome.
Now, if you're talking a Derek Carr, somebody who's young, got a lot of years left, yeah, I'm taking that deal.
Yeah, but Raiders are taking that deal.
But definitely. But I'm saying somebody just as good as a Phillip Rivers, but is much younger. Basically what I'm saying.
Okay.
So I don't, like I said, at Phillip Rivers' age, because I'm a big Phillip Rivers fan. I played against that dude all my years in the league. I don't know. With his age.
When you say someone Phillip Rivers caliber but younger, are you talking about like Andy Dalton?
No. Phillip Rivers and Andy Dalton are not on the same level.
Okay.
Trust me on that one. They are not.
Okay. Andy Dalton's numbers at the end. I mean, he's put up some big numbers.
Yeah, but Andy Dalton also hadn't gone in the playoffs and played a game with a torn ACL.
That's true.
Like, trust me, I've been in a lot of battles with that Phillip Rivers, and he's tough as nails.
Yeah.
And he believes in his arm. Now, I think if he was on a better team, better situation, better structure, better organization, I believe he would have probably already been in the Super Bowl. But he had a great defense his early years, especially like 07, 08, 09. But it's just everything's been failing him since. The defense hasn't been good. And he's had so much of a revolving
since
door.
Since Thomas, and he hasn't had a running game either.
Yeah, he's had so much of a revolving door as far as his receivers, just going in and out, things like that. But no, Phillip Rivers is definitely always going to be one of my top. But that's a really, really good question that you asked me.
Before we let you go, how important is A.J. Bouye to this team? Is he going to get paid like a top-tier corner? And if so, should the Texans be the team to pay that price? Because Fred and I went over the list of free agent cornerbacks, and there's a ton of them.
Mm-hmm.
And A.J. Bouye may be set to make the most money out of all of them, and there may be guys that I like better than him available. But obviously, you want to keep your own guys.
Absolutely.
Do you think the Texans keep A.J. Bouye?
No, I don't think they keep A.J. Bouye, because I think they look at him as one of the guys that isn't one of the guys, or like a statesman. You got Kevin Johnson drafted by the Texans. Kareem Jackson drafted by the Texans, paid by the Texans. J. Joe, he's one of the most beloved people on the Texans. I don't see A.J. Bouye coming back, because I think they still look at him as not one of the guys. A. B. With the way that the Texans defense is set up, it's predicated on the front seven. The back four, you don't need stellar play to be good on that team in that secondary, because it's all predicated on pass rush, the zone coverages, linebackers getting their drops, the safety's doing what they're doing, and that's why the corners play so far off, because you don't need to be an elite cover corner to play in that defense with that type of pass rush. That right there is why I think, A, he's not one of their guys. B, they're not willing to match. They're probably not going to want to match what another team is willing to pay him.
Right.
And so, C, how important is he to that team's success? I think he's a really good player. I think he's the best DB on that team. But based on the way that they set up, they look at him the same way Carolina probably looked at Josh Norman, that our scheme is what's making him look good.
And Josh Norman's a better player than A.J. Bouye.
Yes, of course he is. I mean, obviously.
But although A.J. Bouye is going to get the same kind of money, it looks like, that Josh Norman did.
I don't know if he's going to get Josh Norman money. But A.J. Bouye is going to get paid. There's no doubt about that. But I think that he will not be getting paid by the Houston Texans.
You think the same goes for Quentin Dimps? Because I'll tell you what, Corey Moore chasing around Hogan in that Patriots game looked just completely lost. they missed Quentin Dimps a lot in that game.
Yeah.
And he's an older guy, probably not going to take the same kind of money to keep him as it does A.J. Bouye.
Yeah.
But you think the Texans go into their pocket a little for him?
I think that Quentin Dimps has a better chance of coming back than A.J. Bouye.
Okay.
Obviously, I think, like you said, it's not going to be as expensive to keep him as it would A.J. Bouye.
Or as long-term of investment.
Yeah, exactly. No. I'm looking – probably when I think of Quentin Dimps, I saw that Reggie Nelson signed back. He signed with the Oakland Raiders last offseason. I believe it was, 2 years, $10 million, 2 years, $12 million. I'd see that probably like as a nice template that you probably would start off with if you're thinking about Quentin Dimps. Like I said, Quentin is going into year 10, I believe. Going into year 10. I think that's probably right there. But like I said, I'm not a GM. I'm not no head coach. I'm just sitting on my couch watching like the rest of you guys. So it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, I don't think A.J. Bouye is going to be back. I would like to see him back because I love his story. But based on what the Texans do and how they've done things, I would not be surprised if he wasn't back.
All right, that's Stanford Route. Joins us every Monday during football season. Stanford, good stuff as always, man. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to The Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we're back. Come celebrate the big Texas party with ESPN 97.5, SB Nation 1560, and Culture Map. It's happening Thursday, February 2nd at the Silver Street Studios. We'll have big-time athletes, celebrities, all you can eat and drink, refreshing beer, succulent barbecue, and smooth bourbon. You can buy your tickets at thebigtexasparty.com. You can get your tickets for only $125. Get ready to celebrate the big game with Gal Media at the Big Texas Party. So that's going to be fun. All you can eat and drink, $125. Tickets are going fast. Better get in there.
Mike says, I wish you would have asked Stanford what young QB is on the level of Rivers. I think he did. I mean, he mentioned Derek Carr, but which I don't think the Raiders would even entertain it. But it's hard to find like an under 25 comp to Phillip Rivers, because usually it takes a while to turn into what Phillip Rivers has turned into.
Yeah.
Those guys just don't exist.
And let's be realistic. This isn't happening.
No.
There's no way. But it is, to me, they also went 2-14 with J.J. Watt on the field. And, yeah, are they a hell of a lot better if he's out there? Absolutely. But if you could guarantee yourself that kind of guy, yeah, it would be worth considering. Because I unlike you, I don't think he's suddenly going to be broken down when he comes back. But how much longer is he going to play at the level we're accustomed to seeing him? I mean, this is not a defensive lineman can do that for a while, but he's getting pretty far in now. I mean, how much more are you going to get out of him?
Well,
would you get 4 years?
I mean, like I said, I don't know. I don't think we're ever going to see the same level of J.J. Watt that we saw before. But let's say he comes back and he's 80% of that. Even 80% of that is a really good player, by the way.
Yeah.
But I think he could probably keep that up for a few more years, 3 or 4 more years, which is about how long I would expect Phillip Rivers to be in the league.
Okay. Well, that's the key is how long will you have this guy?
My guess is J.J. Watt will, if he comes back effective, I would guess his peak years are this contract that he's on now.
Yeah.
And that's where the real problem is going to come in, is when his time comes up again, are the Texans going to be willing to say, we don't want to pay him for his fading years?
Oh, yeah, by then, I mean, we're talking 2021 is when his contract's right up. So I think, you know, by then, I don't think it'll be that big of an issue, because he probably, if he's still playing at that sick of a level, then you can franchise him. And if he's not... Yeah, you know, that would be an easy thing to walk away from. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right, AJ, let's assume that you have an iPhone.
I do.
And let's say you have insurance on it.
I do.
And let's say it gets cracked.
Okay.
And you take it into a T-Mobile store to try to get it replace because you've got insurance and it's got a crack, right?
Okay.
And they say no, and you have to buy a new phone. You're going to be a little upset, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't be happy.
Would you crash your SUV into their store?
I probably would. I saw this the other day. Yeah. It's so great.
Yeah, a South Florida woman crashed her SUV into a T-Mobile store a day after trying unsuccessfully to exchange a cracked iPhone. The Palm Beach Post reports that the 26-year-old Shinobia Montoria Wright was arrested after Thursday's crash and treated for injuries to her forearms. Wright later told police she became upset after being forced to pay for a replacement phone, even though she had insurance. And a manager told police that she seemed to be under the influence of a substance when she came into the store on Wednesday. And the next day, she crashed her vehicle into the front entrance.
Oh, I thought she was maybe going to be under the substance then.
Well, the next day, she crashed through the front. I'm guessing probably both days. She got out and began smashing glass displays with a squeegee.
That escalated quickly.
She also hit an employee in the neck. She now faces multiple charges, including aggravated battery. And
my favorite part, if you watch the video, she drives through like a double, like a window the size of a garage door. And when you can hear the employees inside panicking, and one of the employees says, lock the door, lock her in. So like the cops are going to come and she'll be locked in the store. I'm like, she just drove through the wall. How are you going to lock her in by locking the door? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
All right. That's your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right, let's squeeze in Sed real quick. What's up, Sed?
Hey.
Sports.
I was thinking. Yeah, I listen to you guys show every day. Y'all do a good job.
Thanks,
I was thinking, why not Drew Brees? What's wrong with getting Drew Brees down here?
I think it's the same thing. You're just not going to be able to afford it.
Yeah, money is what it boils down to for all these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, Drew Brees, I think Drew Brees presents the same thing that the Rivers thing does, except the difference is Rivers wants out of L.A.
Yeah.
I don't think Drew Brees is looking to leave New Orleans.
And I would want Drew Brees if you could bring Sean Payton with him.
Yeah.
I'd like that. Give me those two with this defense. Feel pretty good. Unfortunately, that's not realistic either. But that's yeah, I do think Brees stays there as long as Peyton stays there, would be my guess.
I'm with you. I think those two ride off into the sunset together.
All right. One more hour to go. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.